Welcome to the Girl Gang Podcast, your weekly dose of friendship, real business advice, and no bullshit guarantee. I'm your host, Amanda Smith, the No Bullshit Business Coach and CEO and founder of Dallas Girl Gang. I'm glad you're here. We want to invite you to join our Patreon platform. If you listen to other podcasts, you know that Patreon is a platform where creators and podcast hosts can bring their community together and you guys can literally support the show, literally help us keep the lights on at the Girl Gang Podcast. So here's what it looks like. It is a monthly community subscription and there's two different levels. Level number one is literally $1 a month. I know, so easy. Everybody has $1. So with this level, it's a super simple way to just show your appreciation for the value you get from this podcast, or maybe you just want to show your appreciation for the Girl Gang community. Maybe you love our Facebook group, our content, things like that. $1 a month. And then the benefit that you're going to get with that is 20% off all of our merchandise in our store with code Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and that is just for you. Then our second level is our VIP Girl Gang, and that's just $10 a month, and here's what it comes with. Free events, local or online, access to our Insiders Membership Facebook group. So essentially, this is the basic level of our actual membership on the Dallas Girl Gang side of things. You will get, as a Patreon member, a signature gang hat that you've seen literally everywhere. You can use a special code for that that's going to be given to you when you sign up. Discount codes and free trials for our favorite products and shops. Examples are like Smart Sweets, Jot Coffee, the Thinkific platform, and so many more of our other partners. And then again, the merchandise of 20% off forever with your own code. So option one, $1 a month, or option two, $10 a month. We would love to have you support us in this podcast because we have a podcast editor. She is amazing. Her name is Rebecca, and we want to be able to keep supporting her, the content that we're putting out, and all the work that goes into a podcast behind the scenes. If you have a podcast, you know this is like another part-time job, okay? This is no joke. And we know that you love this community. This is just a great way to continue to support what the things that you love, especially just at that easy $1 level. So head to the link in the episode description to explore the options for joining our Patreon community. Today on the Girl Gang Podcast, we have my sweet, dear friend, Alexa Glazer. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation and just I'm squeezing everyone through the microphone right now.
I know. I love it. It's so wild to think we've never met in person.
I know.
Like, I feel, this sounds so weird. I feel like I know exactly what a hug like you would feel like.
That a hug from me, I should say. That made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside because truly, like, hugs are like a form of currency to me. And yeah, I would just squeeze you. It makes me feel so warm and fuzzy inside.
I know. I love it so much. Can you tell, like, physical touch is one of my love languages?
Same.
Oh, it's funny. Okay, you're in Ohio. In Cleveland, it's a little gloomy. How was the beginning of the year for you? This is one thing that's been coming up lately is like everybody expects new year turns over, January 1, boom, something magical is supposed to happen. We know that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. How's the beginning of the year been for you?
Yeah, it's funny because I definitely sometimes am a person who loves the, I'm going to start on Monday or I'm going to start on the one and having that excuse every now and again. I'm not someone that like lives by that, but there's definitely been years that I'm like, I need it. Like I still need this extra time to like regroup and rest and it feels good to have like a start date. However, I think this year's a little bit different for me. In 2 weeks, it's my 30th birthday. And so I'm about to enter a new decade of life. And I actually hate birthdays.
Oh.
I don't like them. Hate is a strong word, but I definitely am not someone that's like, okay, let's all get together and celebrate me and all yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
However, this year I'm excited to enter this decade. And I feel like Jan 1 for me was like, all right, let's remove all of the BS that you're still holding on to from prior so that you can not even enter like a new year good,
right?
But like a new decade.
New season, yeah.
Trusting myself and following my intuition, like that's been a big practice for like the last 3 years for me, I'd say. And so that's kind of mean this is the year I just think to like fully like bet on myself and trust on my heart and my being and move forward with grace.
Yeah, I'm turning 30 this year too. In June, and I am the type of person that like loves getting people together. Like, it's my birthday. Like, everyone stop what you're doing. It's my birthday. I don't like, you know, post about it for like a whole week on social media or anything, but I do love a good celebration. My husband's the same way as you are. He's like, why are we celebrating this? Like, what are we doing? But I love that. I really love that. I think, you know, a lot of different people had different feelings about the beginning of this year and still dealing with COVID stuff, which I'm so sick of talking about. But here I am saying it again, you know, and moving into that. And I think at least what I'm feeling here in Dallas, Texas, is we're kind of getting back to normal. Mm-hmm. There is no normal, but like, people are ready to move on with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I had a meeting with some girls in a like local district of Dallas to talk about some like partnership things. And it was like we were back in 2019. We were at a restaurant. Everything was like hustling and bustling. At lunchtime, people were meeting, shopping, whatever. And I was like, wow, like things seem back to normal. And like, being back in person with people, I don't know if you've been able to kind of experience this, but like physically being around more people in the last several months, at least for me, has been very good for me. I don't know. Have you been like more out and about, stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a total game changer. So I live in Lakewood, which is like a suburb of Cleveland. And that being said, it's like I said, super walkable and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Cleveland, but I moved to Vegas for 7 years. I lived in a van, traveled for a year. And so this is the first time I'm like back enjoying my city. And so coming back during a pandemic where people are afraid to hug you, where people even are afraid to say hello and to respond to someone in like the hustle and bustle, to now where I don't want to say it doesn't exist in Cleveland, but it kind of doesn't exist in Cleveland, which is a little bit refreshing, to be honest. And so it has been a game changer. I'm someone who really feels the seasonal depression, especially being in a gloom and doom city. And so to at least get to start interacting with people and seeing more people out, the amount of times too, we had like a pretty rough winter in terms of snow this year.
And yeah, I bet.
I was like, even seeing people shoveling outside, like just literally seeing a human to be like, hey, like even that like fills me up so much. And so
me too.
I do see there being just more hope. And I think that's from a lot of people right now. And people are just like, yeah, hug me. I miss the hugs. Give me a handshake. Yeah. Give me a high five. Come talk to me. I want to know. Like people are just like, I feel like ready to break out of this armor. Where at the beginning it was really nice to kind of have to stay in for a while. And now we're like, okay, it's time.
Okay. You know, and I think people have kind of experienced what we've all experienced, but if they had any reservations or some kind of like outer shell, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I explain this? Like if someone was very guarded, or very like trying to be put together or really focusing on like not being judged or people like not looking at them weird. I think there's a lot of people that are now so over that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm loving it. I'm like, welcome to freedom. Welcome to like the real world, you know? It is like you were saying, it's very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing. Yeah, people are definitely are starting to step into like their authentic self a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because they had to look in the mirror for 3 years now and be kind of stuck in who they are. And it's like, I think there's kind of been two options of continue to be who I am and be unhappy and be stuck in this and not be able to pretend as much because I'm forced to be more in my closed corner, or go through some really hard shit and find out who I am and either keep some of those pieces and get better at some other pieces, heal some pieces, grieve some pieces, and have kind of all these little deaths of yourself and of your being so that you can now show up into the world now that people are out there and you can interact and make new connections. Where I think people are finding themselves too is, oh, I'm actually kind of more connected to this type of person.
Yes.
Where before it was this person. And that to me is also the really exciting stuff.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love this too, especially like as a person, I mean, very similar to you, that's cultivating community on purpose, especially like women.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it and I'm so, so, so thrilled and so glad. Like I said, with that meeting I went to the other day in Dallas for lunch, it's two people that like personality wise, none of us are the same. But we have this like common goal of bringing people together, livening up this area of the city. You know, one of them is launching like a new, very interesting fitness gym concept. And like, I'm not a fitness instructor or fitness guru, right? You know, another girl was like very much an exec type person. And I mean, I'm rolling up in my leggings and a graphic tee and Converse. And it was really great to just like have a conversation and not wonder about like what they're thinking about me and things like that. Cause I think that's definitely been a trend in the past, whether it be like in person or online, but you can really feel it when you're in person with people. It's interesting you brought up like having those deaths of parts of yourself. Let's talk about that a little bit. Did you experience any of that in the last couple of years?
There's been, I think every piece of me has died and some of them have come back to life and like reincarnated in a new form. And some of them are like staying in the ground. And pandemic for me, if anyone loves the Enneagram, I'm an Enneagram 7. So I am very love being out in the world, connecting, having fun. And like, that's the biggest piece of it is like, I want to have fun. I want to be in a room that feels fun. And if it's not, I'm going to make it fun, which means anytime I feel any negative or even like saying negative emotion, lesser than good emotion or feeling, I'm going to run from it, pretend that it doesn't exist, avoid it, resist it, literally kicking, fighting, screaming so that I don't have to feel it. Well, pandemic was like, haha, here's all these things that you tried to fight feeling before. And you kind of have to stop the life that you were living and you actually have to feel these things and you have to confront it and you have to look in the mirror. And so for me, I had realized that there's all of these relationships and people and death and feelings that I never confronted. And in that process, it's like I learned that every step of the way, and this is something, this is why people don't like doing this type of work. You find, and I don't even want to say ugly, but more like icky things about yourself where I was like,
sure,
wow, I'm a people pleaser. Wow. I kind of put myself on the pedestal every time I got out of a bad relationship. When it's like, there's two, it takes two to tango. And although maybe you didn't act in a poor way, you stayed, you're attracted to it and you have done it again and again. And so that's kind of the work I've done in the past 3 years of like, what are these things that I'm attracted to? And is it because I'm actually attracted to these people and experiences, or is it because you're attracted to constantly feeling like you're the good one? Right? Like how icky. Like I feel like I'm a person who has like the biggest heart in the world, how you described what a hug could possibly feel like if and when we meet in person. Like, I love the way I love people. And like, that truly is my superpower, my best quality. And so for me to say that, but also have to confront the, are you doing certain things or staying in certain things to just like be better. Like, that's another thing. I'm a competitive person. And yeah, also 7, I want to be like so fun. And like, the more I can love and do and care for people, like, the better. And so that's all the stuff, like, that's the stuff. It's like, there was a death and that was reincarnated in a way that was more honest and more truthful to, you can still love that fiercely and care about people so fiercely and have such a passion and love for life and people and connection, but you don't have to do it with everyone or every experience. You have the gift of choice and honor that.
Yeah. We're very similar. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting because I'm a 7 as well. Love the fun. Love to be in a fun room. Mm-hmm. Same thing. If it's not feeling so fun, I'm like, all right, how can we turn this party up or let's go somewhere else? That's been a very difficult thing for me to do too in the last couple of years, is like face that shit head on. Mm-hmm. And I went to therapy for the first time in 2019, I think. It was great. Felt pretty good. And then I don't remember why, but I stopped. I just felt like I was at a decent place, which I think is fine. And then 2020, 2021, we bought a house. I left my job. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of change, a lot of life change. And so I went back to therapy probably 6-7 months ago. And it was interesting. This week, my therapist was like, you just seem better. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, what was I acting like? What was I doing? How was my life? How did I feel 8 months ago? Mm-hmm. And I compared the two and I was like, oh, there has been quite a change. And I think one thing that, like, I think if I had to claim something that has died in me is dying. Let's say that. I don't think it's completely gone, but is the feeling of a little bit of the people pleasing. But like, I was just thinking about, like, how would I say this? I'm almost not bothered by other people. Mm-hmm. And especially as a business owner, that's difficult because everybody else is doing something. You want to get a little competitive. You want to, you know, look at your competitors, whatever. But I think that's one of the big things that, you know, whether it's interpersonal relationships or in business or whatever, I just have really built strong boundaries, and that has always been difficult for me.
Yes.
Me very difficult. Too.
And that is something I love how you reframed that is still dying. Yeah. That piece for me is so much the case of, like, right when I think I'm like, ooh, it's dead. It's like, well, let's put this conversation here that you either are going to choose to have a hard conversation, choose to walk away. You have the choice of, again, decision. Yeah. And boundaries are so hard. I swear, 4 years ago, I was like, what even is a boundary? Tell me more. Oh, yeah. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
And
you can say no.
Right? This is a real thing. Like, I can find that word in the dictionary.
You can say no, thank you? Wow.
I mean, Lord. So that for me too, I very much resonate with that is still dying. And therapy, also something that I started during the pandemic, 2020. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, it's time. We need to get other help. We can't just help ourselves or think that we can just help ourselves. And in that process, not only finding these things of like, oh, boundaries, oh, people pleasing, it was also like, oh, sadness. And something my therapist always said, and it's actually what my new book is dedicated to, it's dedicated to my sadness for showing me that I'm alive. And
I love that.
For someone like you and I, I would have never said sadness is the piece that's making me alive. I would have said it's the traveling, it's the sunsets, it's the connecting, it's being on stage and speaking. It's like the all the experiences, not collecting things, but collecting experiences where now I'm like, oh, it's how many emotions can I allow myself to feel, because that is proof that I'm actually experiencing all that the human experience is.
Yeah.
And when you can attach to that, I truly think my life is dramatically shifted, and there's still so many pieces that, like you said, still dying inside of me. But to be able to acknowledge that, oh, the sadness that I'm experiencing, and oh, I'm also feeling really happy in this other aspect of my life. I think a lot of times the misconception is we can only feel one thing the whole day.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. A practice I've started is, and I've done this in therapy, and then now I have like a feelings journal, and anytime I'm feeling overwhelmed, I literally sit down and write, I feel with everything I'm feeling. So it's like, I feel sad, I feel happy, I feel love, I feel empty, I feel bliss, I feel smitten, I feel overwhelmed, whatever I'm feeling at the time. But it's being able to put language to what's happening inside of your body, and then you can see like, oh, there's actually some things that are really conflicting. So even the other day I wrote, like, I feel prepared. And then the next thing I wrote was, I feel unprepared.
And, if that is not the truth.
Right? And it's just like, if you can let those two things coexist and be like, oh, duh, both of those make sense. I'm allowed, able, and I don't even love the word should, but I should feel both of these ways. I feel really prepared right here, but I feel really unprepared with this other thing. And I'm really sad about this, but I'm really happy about that. And it's like, we each have a million and one things going on in our heads, in our lives, adult inconveniences, things to celebrate, milestones, we're going to therapy, we're getting our oil changed, whatever. Of course, you're going to have also a million and one emotions every day.
I think you're saying you don't like the word should. I don't either. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like we can, like we can have all those emotions. Yeah. Like, I think that's one big thing that maybe a lot of us struggle with. I won't slap that on everyone, but is I was always a person, and probably still am, probably always will be, a person who likes to follow the rules. Mm. I don't want to do something I shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Or get in trouble,
mm-hmm.
or be like ridiculed or questioned for my choices. And so I think just like giving myself permission to do whatever or feel whatever, like just recognizing I can feel this way because that is how I feel and that is okay.
Yes.
You know, or like I can think X, Y, Z, and that's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. That's been a big, big thing. So you've talked a lot about the how we hold things in our body, and like our emotions, our feelings. It's so interesting. It's actually something before you and I even started to talk about booking this, that I've been seeing more just for whatever reason. And thinking I want to pay more attention to my own physical reactions to things. And I think like having developed, you know, a lot of anxiety and depression early on in like college, I can see those like anxiety physical symptoms. But talk to me about what are your thoughts on this? What have you been, you know, seeing and talking about lately?
Yeah. So I think it's like, what I have learned is just trying to get crystal clear on what you're actually trying to say and what you're actually feeling. So like even how you had just said, like I have developed depression and anxiety early on. And so same. And so anxiety is a very buzzy word that everyone throws out there and loves to use, myself included. I definitely have anxiety that shows up almost daily.
Yeah.
What I've realized though is like anxiety is not the feeling. Anxiety is a thing that is showing you have a lot of feelings underneath it that you are resisting. Anxiety is like the door. It's the thing that's not allowing your feelings to be felt fully. And when I kind of realized that, I was realizing how many times someone said, oh, how are you doing today? And I was like, oh, I have a lot of anxiety, which again, that's so valid still. And I still use that. And so anyone out there that uses that, continue to, but pay attention to if you're saying, oh, I have so much anxiety. Is it, oh, I actually am really overwhelmed. That's where my anxiety is coming from. Or, oh, I'm really sad because I'm going through a breakup right now. Or I'm really drained because I'm burning myself out from this new business that I'm trying to like throw everything into. And so anxiety to me is like the red flag, but it's not the feeling. It's not the thing to stop at. If you're seeing the red flag, don't stop, go in it. Like try and like climb up to the flag to take it down and like hold it in your heart so that you can find what those things are. And so that being said too, something that is a bit woo, but something I've really tried to practice is me freaking do. I love all the woo. Give me all of it. But I talk to my feelings as if they are human beings.
Yeah.
And I feel like
the Pixar movie Inside Out.
Literally. It's exactly. You need to do this in your daily life. And so if I am feeling, and this is something I learned in therapy, if sadness is showing up, my therapist would always be like, all right, like sadness just walked into the room. Sadness is sitting on your lap. Sadness is sitting like right next to you to your right. And maybe this other conflicting feeling I'm having is like sitting over on my left. And he's like, just truly like hold space for this feeling. And he's like, what would you like to say to it? And he's like, say whatever you want, be mad at it, but like actually talk to it. He's like, your feelings don't like to be ignored. And so if you look at your feelings as if they're human beings, think of like, if I was sadness, like, do I like walking into a room and being ignored? Do I like walking into a room and someone treating me like shit? Someone saying bad things about me, pretending that I don't exist? And it's like, absolutely not. I want to be like, hey, see me, hear me, love me, care for me. And like, our feelings want the same thing. And the quicker you give them attention, and not even like completely necessarily care for them, that's like a process. It takes a long time to like be comfortable with people. So same thing with like our feelings. So like, don't think just because I'm like acknowledging it that it's gonna like go away. No.
Right.
I have to care for it like a human being and essentially like build a relationship with this feeling. And the more I've noticed myself do that and like allow these people like a place at my table, I always am like sadness, fear, anger, overwhelm, whatever. I'm like, I see you. I'm gonna put you in my pocket. You can come with me, but like I get the say. Because a lot of times we let our feelings control how we react to people and to experiences. And that's the part that gives us anxiety is because we feel like out of whack. We feel
out
like
of control.
Lost. Yep. Yeah, like a paper bag in the wind. Like, that's what I feel like when I don't put language to my feelings is I'm literally a paper or plastic bag in the wind with zero control. Well, of course you're feeling anxious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, it makes sense. Zach was listening to a podcast the other day or something, and I think it was talking particularly about – no, I think it was just talking about relationships in general, any kind of relationship. And he was talking about how we have to, like you said, put language to things. And sometimes in relationships – we have to just be honest and say what we're thinking and feeling. And it might come out icky. It might sound or feel hurtful, but it's probably very necessary. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle, right? And I think when we're letting our emotions drive, we don't have the tact to like not be sensitive, but like we'll let it boil over and then just bleh, you know, like, oh, well, you're a bitch or you know whatever. And totally. It's like whoops, you know, like let's, I mean, it's better than not saying anything at all, but it's I like the way you described like naming your emotions and talking to them. I really love that.
Well, and it's like, even thinking about this, like, we just think like people should be mind readers. And something I love people to like try and pay attention to more is like, when you're pissed at someone or frustrated or like asking someone like, hey, I can tell something's up, and they're not like ready to share that with you. And then like the frustration that you get because someone else won't go there with you. So it's like, when you then are feeling all of these things and don't want to share with someone or are getting frustrated, it's like, try and try and try to like put yourself up, like the last time you were frustrated by someone else and like your inability to mind read, and now this person's inability to mind read. And so conversations are freaking hard, especially ones that are about feelings and uncomfortable thoughts. And when you have trouble putting language to things, it's like that you're never going to be able to if you don't rip off the band-aid and try and like give yourself a safe place to land. Like, let someone in, like, hey, I'm about to have this conversation with you. I don't know if I'm going to say anything the way I want to or mean, but like, work with me here. Like, try to help me understand, and like, just put that out in the open and then see what someone says.
I mean, if I had heard that, 7 years ago when I got married, I think both of us would have been better. And of course, we've learned over time. And I would say we probably have one of the most healthy communication relationships that I see around me. Mm-hmm. But like, if we had known that before, because we're so opposite. Yeah. Like, he is ADHD. He is more introverted extrovert. Mm-hmm. He, like, we did not grow up the same. We did not grow up in the same state. Mm-hmm. Like, so many different things of how we communicate. And if we had just been able – actually, he's done that more than I have, but now we can kind of get into that space before we maybe have a disagreeing conversation or argument.
Yeah.
But that's very helpful and useful.
Right? Well, it's like – it's so funny, too, to think, though. Like, to me, it's like, congrats, and, like, you should pat yourself on the back just saying, like, it hasn't always been like this, but we're here now. Because there's so many people that are just like, they can't even say it hasn't always been like this. They're just like, you either stay in a relationship that like the communication is poor and you just keep getting frustrated with one another, or like me for a long time where I was just like, I don't want any man in my life because no one's going to understand. Everyone's going to hurt me. And it's like, no, Alexa, that's ridiculous too. Like, there's such opposite sides of the spectrum. And I feel like it's so refreshing to hear more and more relationships, whether it's intimate, romantic, or just friendships or family members, like with each other, of just like, we're finally getting to a place where like we can go deeper, or they're trying to understand me more, or they're paying attention to the way that they show love and how I receive love. And just, there's more and more, and I can't wait for there to be even more and more of those types of conversations that just allow people to like be more human and be themselves. Like, that's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah. So being more human and humanizing things is something that you are very vocal about these days. Give us some examples. Let's get into that.
Yeah. So it's funny too. Again, there's probably so many times on just this 30 minutes we've been talking where I'm like, I don't love this word, but, and sometimes I'm like, okay, Alexa, just use the word. But so I have really talked about humanizing things. A lot of times I think we said, oh, we want to normalize this. It's like, why are we trying to normalize something that's already normal? Like, let's just humanize that actually everything is normal, because no one knows what they're doing here.
No.
No one has been here before. We don't have a manual at birth to, you know, be able to figure out these things. So like, things that I'm trying to humanize is, don't apologize unless you've actually done something wrong.
Ooh, we could just park it right here for the rest of the episode.
Right?
Yep. Like, oh boy.
Like, that is something for me, I learned that, or just like started being more aware of it. Of, I lost my dad 8 years ago, and just everyone's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And I understand why people say that. But. And I understand we're collectively as a society going to continue to say that. However, if I can just like share with someone or like let someone in of like, why are you sorry? If someone actually said, I'm so sorry that your dad passed, and I said, why are you sorry? Someone I feel like would be like,
oh shit.
I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I thought I was just supposed to say that. And so to me, all this humanizing is knowing you're going to fuck up. You're going to say the wrong things. You're going to screw up. You're going to regret things. You're going to like go full force on other things. And just to like be aware that all that's going to happen and not get upset with yourself. Like that is the shit that we can humanize. So it's being able to say no, like we've said before, and to not feel bad about it. Like you're allowed to say no. You don't have to say sorry if you don't mean it or if you did nothing for it. Especially like sadness, right? I've been talking about sadness a lot because that's to me where like I had this huge shift in life is like allowing that specific emotion in.
Mm-hmm.
But like how many times I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just like so sad today. I'm sorry that I'm like, I'm just feeling like a little overwhelmed today. Like why? Why are you sorry?
Yeah.
Because we don't want people to feel uncomfortable by us being human. And so this humanizing also just like the fact that everything we experience, and this is going to be woo, I've heard it from Ram Dass, is actually has the ability to be perfect. As a society, we think perfect means you look the perfect way, you are the perfect size, you make the perfect amount of income, and it's these like very clicky check off things. I can see it, superficial, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
No. Perfection is actually every single conversation, movement, choice you made, direction you moved in, step you took has brought you to this exact moment. And not only just you, but you and I having this conversation right now, everything you experienced in life, us joining Hannah Nieves Mastermind together, like that decision brought us here. And that to me actually is what perfect is. So to me, it's just a below the surface conversation of like everything happens for a reason that we all say that, which I believe that, but like let's get deeper.
But what it really looks like. And I think, so for me personally, like I, as a Christian and as a believer, I really struggle with that phrase of like, everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, we could talk about this forever about Christian culture and things that are not done well, let's say. But the older I've gotten and the more life I've experienced, and going through kind of a crisis of faith myself after going through some really hard shit in a church when my husband was an employee of a church. That, what am I trying to say? That kind of, those things that people say, like, I'm sorry for your loss. And like, it happens for a reason. It is just cliches that we cling to avoid actually addressing the problem, or like you were saying, going deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I'm like, well, none of this might make sense for me right now, but I know it is happening for a reason. And actually everything that's happening right now is exactly how it's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be good enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we all find a little unrest is we're not satisfied with what is happening right now. And that's where, like, I think for me, just in the last year or less, coming back to like a solid faith in God is knowing, I'm really trying to say this the way I want to say it, is knowing like this, it like kind of like you were saying in a sense, like this is perfect. This is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I like, yes, I'm going to make mistakes and whatever is going to happen, but this is exactly how it's supposed to be. So why am I unhappy? Like how bratty of me to be uncontent, is that a word?
Yeah, we'll make it one if it's not.
We'll make it a word, you know? And I think, yeah, that's the steps we take and the things that we say and do, and we don't have to say we're sorry, like you said, unless it's actually something that I have had a very hard time with in my life, is apologizing unnecessarily.
Yep, me too.
And I know that's probably why you brought it up too. Especially, I'm talking about my husband a lot because obviously spend the most time with him. He never used to understand, like, why are you sorry? So now he just calls me on my bullshit. He's like, you better stop right now. Like, we're not doing this. Because if I resort to that, that's me going into a very, like, weak or fragile state because I'm not facing something.
Yeah.
Or because I'm not addressing something or letting myself feel something. And even when we're having, like, arguments, I feel like I have to say I'm sorry. Yeah. But there is no reason to apologize. It's just a conversation, right? Yeah. And that has been just a huge shift for me.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I think a lot of times we say sorry to get past some of the discomfort quicker.
Yeah.
Yep. We're trying to fix something that's probably not even broken, just a little rearranged at the moment. But I actually had an ex-boyfriend, like this is in college, who we were having a disagreement and I just wanted it to be over so bad because I was so uncomfortable. And we were having the disagreement because of something he did. And I apologized and he literally called me out. I was like, what are you did nothing wrong. Like, we are having this argument because I fucked up. I did something I wasn't supposed to. So please tell me one thing you're apologizing for. And I was like, well, thank you. And I guess I don't know. And that has stuck with me. And like, how great is it to have people in your life that can actually say that? And that's like on him. And that's the conversations, like, be human enough to be like, this is unnecessary. Like, you're doing something that's unnecessary right now. This is on me. And that sucks. But don't apologize for something I did. And that's the first time I've ever, and I don't want to say first and last because that's extreme. But that's not a conversation that people have very normally, and being able to like take ownership on something. So like, surround yourself with more people that can attempt to do that so that you don't have to just keep apologizing over shit you didn't do.
Yeah. I have seen it too recently, like with some of my clients. Mm-hmm. They feel bad. And I think it might be I don't want to like blanket statement that it's a woman thing or that it's a millennial thing. I don't think so. I think it's just maybe some societal things, but cause this is like this whole sorry conversation, like it's very interesting to me. But I've seen a lot, like, you know, if they're like a couple minutes late to our call or God forbid someone had a very scary life moment, let's just say, with their family recently, she apologized. Mm. And I was like, no, you don't get to apologize. I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. Whoever made you feel like you had to apologize in this kind of situation, like, fuck them. Like, I do not accept that. Like, and it's so interesting because as the receiver of the sorry, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's like, for what? Like, what do you mean? I guess thank you. And then it's like, I don't know. Or if you're like, if you really think you deserve an apology from someone for something like that made you feel uncomfortable, whatever, like, whoa, let's hold up. You really need to take a second and check yourself.
Yeah. Something you said too sparked something for me is, well, being a receiver of insincere or unnecessary apologies is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like,
it's awkward.
I'm so sorry that this traumatic thing happened, and you're like, it's okay. But you're like, no, it's not okay. That's fucking terrible. Like, I just want to hold space for you. But anyway, the other thing is, I think sometimes too, we apologize for things we wish other people would apologize for, or that like we value. So like the time one resonates with me a little bit, because I'm definitely like, I hate being late. I'm like a very timely person, and it's because I want other people to respect my time. So I do find myself like, if I am late to something, I am like super apologetic, when it's like, the reframe is thank you for waiting for me and like just being done with the conversation. But I do think like the ego of Alexa and time is like, this other person didn't value my time. They're not going to apologize. So like, I have to like take up their slack the next time I'm late to something. It's like, no, thank you for waiting. Thank you for your patience.
Period.
Thank you for rescheduling.
That's it. The end. And we move on.
Yes.
And it's such, in my opinion, it is such a, the way you were just framing it of like, you're apologizing on behalf of someone you wish would apologize. It's so incredibly passive aggressive.
Yes.
Oh. And that is frustrating. And it's so interesting you brought up like your ego, because I think that plays into a lot of what we've talked about today, because me at the center, this is very like a very psychologically based episode, which I figured it would be with you, but I so wanted it to be. Your ego plays into everything that you do.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know everything about Freud, but it's hard to, because your ego can be a good thing.
Yeah.
You can build a positive foundation of your, anyway, I don't know. It's just interesting to bring that to the table.
Yeah. Like this is actually something, when I was writing my book, I used the word ego and my editor challenged me on it. And she was like, hey, this is fine here, but please tell me what ego means to you. Because as a reader, I might interpret ego as something and someone else might interpret as something else. So like, can you explain what ego is to you when you use it in the paragraph? And to be honest, I think I took it out of my book because I was like, I'm not sure of myself yet to talk about this. Like, that's for my next book. But I did a bunch of like research in those like 48 hours of like, okay, what is ego? And like, for me, baseline right now is just like, ego is the thing that tries its best to protect us.
Yeah.
And so I do agree with you, as like foundationally at some point, I do think you can have this ego that is very healthy and like is still there protecting yourself because you're so sure of who you are and how you're showing up.
Yeah.
But it is really interesting of like all the languaging, all the feelings, all the things, like to know that we're all perceiving it differently. We all understand it differently. Some of us don't know anything at all. Not anything. That was extreme. No. Big blanket statement. You know nothing.
Some of us are real big dummies.
Anything at all about a certain topic. And that's
sure.
Okay. So to me, yeah, it is just like, it's so interesting to identify these things about yourself so you can help connect with other people and identifying it about themselves as well.
So your new book, tell us, what's the title again and when does it come out, or is it out yet?
Not yet. It'll be out, I'm pretty sure, June 22nd of 22. I'm all about some angel numbers. So like, let's go 2222. But anyway, it's actually called, this is why I smiled at one point in this conversation when you said your permission slip, because that's the title of my book, is Your Permission Slip.
Yes.
And I'm playing with the subtitle a little bit, to be honest, right now. But it's going to be like forgiving and letting go with grace. But it's all this permission slip to be more self-accepting and to learn what your ego is, even though I don't use that terminology in the book. And as I said before, to honor your feelings and to feel the most alive you've ever felt, because you are honoring every fucking piece of you.
Yeah. Is it on pre-order right now?
In the next couple weeks, April 20th, I believe, is when we're starting pre-order. So
love it.
Pre-order for 2 months. Some goodies
love
come
it.
Along with pre-order.
Love
Lots
it.
Of good stuff, exciting stuff happening, for sure.
So good. I love that you're releasing pre-order on 420.
Yeah, actually.
Just the out about that. Let's go.
Let's go.
I'm so excited. Here's the funny thing. I've never smoked weed in my entire life. So here I am joking about 420. Anyways, people are going to make fun of me for that. I love you so much. I could talk to you forever. I want to see you and hug you before this year is over. That would be so amazing.
It would be so amazing.
So amazing.
It's needed.
So good. And tell everybody, you have a podcast, Chasing Alignment?
Yes, I have a podcast. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It's me and my co-host, Josie. As Amanda said, Chasing Alignment. I hang out on Instagram mostly. Yep. So AlexaGlazer_. I'm also, and I think you'll kind of love this.
Okay.
Because you talk a lot about just like supporting small and local and just like being supportive in general to your people. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. in this book launch, I'm not putting it on Amazon until like the very end possibility date, because really want to bring awareness to the fact, like, if you want to support an author, buy it off their website, because you make a dollar maybe on Amazon for a $17 book. And it's not about the money, but it is about the support and the heart and soul someone's putting into it. And most authors, myself included, you're going to get a signed copy and stickers and just like an overall experience into someone's community and heart. And so that's something next couple months I'm going to talk a lot about, is supporting people in a more genuine way.
I saw someone on TikTok the other day that was like, there's no downside to supporting a small business. Like, you get a cute package, a handwritten note, you get stickers, you get great quality products. Like, sign me up. There's literally no downsides.
Zero downside. All the ups.
I love it. Well, I can't wait for permission slip. Is it slips, plural?
Your permission slip.
Your permission slip. Yeah. Love it. I'm so, so excited. I think I'm going to buy some copies for some people.
Yeah.
Like, maybe some clients or whatever. Love you so much. You guys go connect with Alexa. And thank you for listening to the Girl Gang podcast. Go rate and subscribe on Spotify, iTunes. I'm loving Spotify a lot more lately. It's just, you know, I don't know. Seems to be the more poppin' platform. But thanks for joining us today. Mwah.
Thanks for having me. Love you guys.